Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode here at Crónicas Paranormales. Today's episode, we have a guest who is going to be sharing a couple of paranormal or coincidences that he's had in his, you know, throughout his life at the moment. Some pretty interesting stories. Without any further ado, today's special guest is Gio. Introduce yourself, Gio.
Oh, my name is Gio. I live in a town called Lompoc, California. It also happens to be the home of La Purisima Mission, which for years was recognized as one of the most haunted places here in America. So, yeah.
Okay. And you were telling me the other day, because we were in contact before, that you had an experience right when you went on a trail.
Yes, at the mission, I've had, like I said, I don't consider them to be paranormal encounters, but I like to use facts first, and so I would consider it a coincidence. And, you know, I would let the listeners decide what they think after they hear the story, you know?
Yes. So, can you tell us, like, just give us, you know, just give us the details of what you experienced today and, you know, what went through your mind as you experienced this, you know, this event?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Of course. So, I was out for a run with a few of my family members, and I was beating them by a while, by who knows how much. But as I was waiting for them to catch up, there's a little blacksmith shop inside of the mission that's there for the tourists to go see. And I whip out my phone, pretending to be like a ghost hunter, and I just go around saying, "Hello, is there anyone here?" And I didn't think anything of the clip on Snapchat where I recorded it. I just happened to post it, and I put my phone away, and that was it. A few hours later, though, later that night, I had an old friend of mine that I haven't talked to in at least up to 2 years after that point. He messages me or replies to my story saying, "Hey, bro, you can hear someone saying Zach in the background." And when I read that, message, that really struck me, because literally the day before, I was talking to another friend of mine that these two have no relation to each other. Like, they don't know. They live in different cities, so
yes,
they don't know I'm talking to either one of them. I happen to be talking to someone else about the host of Ghost Adventures named Zach Bagans. And so for him to bring up the word Zach just really shocked me, because there's no way he could have known that I was talking about that the day prior. And for him to hear it in my video was pretty astonishing, honestly.
So, but on the video, because you said it was a video, right? Do you think that you capture an EVP, like, you know, one of those energy voice recordings and stuff?
It could be out of the ordinary. I do believe I caught something. I would just like to remind people that I was running, and I happened to have a dog with me on my side, so I like to throw facts out. Maybe it was a dog breathing heavily, but definitely in the video, you can hear like a sigh or like a breathing or like a vowel, like the ending of a vowel sound, like a k sound. And it was right after I was done asking a question. And even though I was joking around taking the video, I took like real ghost hunter steps. I was trying to be quiet and take it as like legitimately as possible. You know, I'm not gonna ask a question and just keep breathing or laugh or giggle in the background. I asked the question, I did stay quiet. I didn't think I was gonna get a response, but you know, it could be all sorts of things. But definitely it was surprising to see that I caught something on it. So if it does truly say Zach, and if that's what a majority of the people hear, then I do believe for it to be an intelligent response.
Would you mind sharing the audio with us, so that way I could insert it into the clip or into the podcast so people could hear it? I could clean it up and, yeah, you know, put it in there if you want, if you still have it.
Yeah, definitely. You guys have to hear it for yourselves, boost the audio, and see what you guys make of it, if you guys hear anything at all. But yeah, I definitely have the clip ready to share.
Okay.
Danny, as Spooky Ghost, can you please tell me your name?
Let me ask you, because I usually ask people all the time whenever they encounter, you know, some possible paranormal phenomenons. Did you had any like did you felt anything during that time? Like any, like, you know, like people or some, like not people, but the some, like something was watching you, you know?
During the time, no, because it was like bright outside and I wasn't thinking anything of it. It was just another ordinary run. Okay, but okay. Definitely started to kick in after my friend responded to my story, and I was honestly speechless for a while. I wasn't sure how he knew what we were talking about or the subject, if anything. And I know he wasn't a prankster type of guy, so I was definitely shook. So I was nervous or just uneasy, basically. But that mission, definitely, whenever I would go for late night runs, I never looked forward when I was running. I would always look at the ground because I knew that I never wanted to look up and see something. Yes. I would rather be watching my own feet than to see a shadow move in the distance.
Okay, let me ask you this. What would you have done if, you know, when you were out there recording and if something had appeared in front of you, you know, just like saying, boom, I'm here, like, what do you want, you know? Kind of, not in that manner, but, you know,
if I would actually caught something and notice.
Yeah, like if you would have actually recorded something like visually wise though, not just audio.
Oh, what would I do if I would have caught that?
Yeah, if you would have recorded like a presence, you know, like an actual ghost, I guess you could say it.
If I was to actually record a ghost, I would definitely share it with the town. Find anyone else that is interested in that kind of stuff and see what kind of evidence or experience that they've gathered. And share the clip with as many people as possible to, you know, to expand the knowledge and the resources that we have on terms of, like, ghost hunting. And as well as for, like, the park popularity. Let people know that it's a historic thing. It's more than just recreating buildings, that there is energy there that should be respected. So if I was to actually have caught something, I would have found, I guess, like, a live chat, a Facebook group, shared it, let people think whatever they believe, but just put it out there so people can make up the answer for themselves based on the evidence, you know?
Okay, yeah, that's good. So are you like a paranormal enthusiast also, or do you just, you know, you just happen to have picked that up at first?
I'm intrigued with the paranormal. And not because I consider myself to be a ghost hunter or I'm outright believe in it 100%, but I'm someone who wants to learn more. In terms of like my religion and the way I was brought up, believing in a God, I always thought it was strange to put all your faith into someone that might not exist. But I always thought, man, if I could find a ghost, which happens to be a little bit more common than God, that if you were to experience anything from a ghost, get moved, get pushed, hear a voice, and it gives you definitive proof and you can record it, then if ghosts are real, then I'm pretty sure that, you know, God would be confirmed for me. So for me, I'm not a professional ghost hunter. I'm not active in searching, but I'm always hoping something happens to me. Nothing super negative, or, you know, hopefully nothing gets super attached to me, but so it can clear up for myself about, you know, more about this world and what happens after it.
Yes. Another question. Are you open to the idea of playing the Ouija board, or is that something that you just like, no, that's not for me? Or do you believe in the concept of the Ouija board?
You know, I'm hearing about it for so long. For me, it would just honestly be about who to pick. Because I believe there are like strict rules to follow, otherwise you can get like negative attachments or bad demons come out of it.
Yes.
And so definitely, I know like people around me are jokesters, are pranksters. So I wouldn't want to go into it knowing that one of my friends or someone that I trusted to do it with me might be moving what would you call it, the dial or the little
centerpiece.
The centerpiece, exactly. I wouldn't want someone to jokingly move in, make us all believe that we're talking to something. If something genuinely comes through, I wanted it to be with people that I trust and that I know can handle it, that wouldn't give up or leave the table with, or I believe it's a seance, or someone who, you know, without properly saying goodbye. But at the same time, so that for me, I believe it's real, but for me to find the proper people to do it with would be challenging. Because I would want everyone going into it to be as serious as me or other people like me just wanting to find the answer without, yes, you know, messing around.
Yeah, because from what I read, because I like to do a lot of researches in this, like, paranormal events and stuff. When you play the... And this is, disclaimer, this is going to be different for everybody's different belief and stuff, but this is just what I've read. Sometimes you have to kind of cure, it's called curing the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to, like, cut yourself or pinch yourself or whoever, or like everybody who's participating, they pinch themselves and they put blood on it, you know, and they smear it all over the Ouija board. And that is like an offering to the Ouija board saying, you know, here's our little sacrifice. You know, we're serious about this, you know. Let's have a session, you know, like a like a real thing, you know. But then I've also heard that people don't do that, that you're not supposed to do it like that because that's bad. I've also read that in order for you to have a Ouija board, they have to personalize it and attach it to you. Mm-hmm. To where, like, your energy matches it or whatever, so that way you could be, like, the master of the thing and control it, you know. And then, of course, always, you know, when you finish doing the session, you're supposed to say a couple, I don't know, like, some kind of prayer or whatever, in order for you to close a portal or the circle to the paranormal stuff, so that way nothing really gets attached to you.
Wow. Yeah, all of that, I wasn't aware of a majority of that, that you had to make, like, a sacrifice. Well, yeah. I guess that some people do. You know, you just see on TV and the movies, like, oh, they just whip it out and they start playing right then and there. So, that to me, that was like what I believe, the extent of how far it goes. But I don't know the extra stuff, the research that you mentioned.
Well, yeah, like I said, that's why I said it's a disclaimer, because there's different ways to play it or utilize it, actually, because you're not really playing it, you're utilizing it, it's not a game. But those are like the most, I guess, like, research topics or, like, explain ways to actually make the thing in order for the Ouija board to work and for you to be able to contact somebody beyond the portals, you know.
Have you ever considered playing it yourself or looked into it?
To be honest with you, dude, when I was younger, I've never played it myself. But when I was younger, I just knew people that played it. And I know people right now as an adult that have played the Ouija board, like in the cemetery at 3:33 in the morning, you know, because it's the devil hour, the dead hour, whatever they call it. And they say they've never experienced anything. I don't know if because they're non-believers, so that's the thing, though. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in demons. They don't believe in... They're atheists. Like, they don't believe in anything after life. Like, once you're dead, you're dead. You know, they don't believe none of that. And they say that they've never experienced nothing paranormal in their life.
Well, at the same time, that's pretty good that they didn't experience anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least they're honest that they weren't faking it, or they, like, oh, no one moved it, or... I guess it all depends on location, too, because, yeah, it might be, like, they might have gone out during, like, the devil's hour, but if, you know, they weren't at an active location, then, you know, you wouldn't expect anything to come through, nor if they didn't know the backstory or other ways to offer, to start up the ritual.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it makes sense that they might not have captured anything. So.
I don't know if because their Ouija board, they made the Ouija board themselves. It was with cardboard and... a shot glass in the middle of the centerpiece. Yeah. So I don't know if that had to do something with it, or if it even matters if it's a real wood Ouija board or a, you know. But they made it out of cardboard, and they said they didn't experience anything. The centerpiece never moved or anything, and they were sitting on top of a graveyard, dude. Actually on top of a tombstone. My bad. They were there, and they were asking, like, they're like, "Is there anybody here or whatever?" And nobody showed up, or like nothing moved, nothing happened. So they just said, "You know what? We're done." You know, and they just left.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I don't really know how to react to that, because a Ouija board, I mean, is just a piece of wood with just some printed on letters. So. it's not like they produce them in a factory and sprinkle some dark magic on them, you know? So I guess it all just depends on location.
Yeah. Also, though, but before, like, the... I think it was, like, in the 70s, when they first started making the Ouija boards, they were made as a toy by... I think it was Mattel.
Uh-huh.
They used to mass-produce them on the 70s and 60s and stuff. And they were all, like... They were just... You know, they were just toys for people. But then people started using them for witchcraft and all that weird stuff, you know?
I'm pretty sure if you look back into it far enough, you'd probably find, like, a very popular horror movie released around that same year, which it probably inspired them to mass-produce all those toys.
I think there was one. I think there was a movie. The movie was called I think the movie itself was called The Ouija Board.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. And a good licensing deal. Proper time for them to market on that. Capitalize on people who are afraid and are interested and want answers and make it into a toy, but you take it to a real life location where it might have some paranormal activity and it's more than just a toy at that point.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's weird, man. It's weird. It's definitely a very weird, very weird topic.
Yeah, definitely.
I do want to do some more research on that, maybe even on the future, like release an episode on the podcast about, like, you know, or like facts about the Ouija board or something like that. Because I've had friends that they've invited me, a couple of my friends, saying, hey, let's play Ouija board, but I don't do that because I'm really sensitive to all, like, the paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen things, you know, like, I've seen ghosts, I've seen shadows and stuff. But, yeah, let's take a quick break, dude. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and continue on with your stories, yeah?
Sounds great.
Yes. Nope. All right, folks, so we are back with a second segment on here at the Crónicas Paranormales. Gio, you were telling us earlier that you had another story, correct?
Yes.
Would you like to share it with the public?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. Like I said, this, I like to call it a coincidence. I can't say for certain it's a paranormal encounter. But it all started after watching the movie The Grudge, theaters. Me and a few friends went to go to a Jack in the Box late at night. And as we're all sitting down, we're all grabbing up some food. And one of my cousins happens to mention to me at the table, hey, Jill, did you know that your aunts happen to be witches? Or that there's rumors that they practice witchcraft here in town? And I moved out of that town maybe like 10 years ago when I was still a kid. So that was all news to me. And I'm like, I have no clue. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I was actually surprised that it's even a rumor at this point because I never expected it out of these sweet old ladies. And so we all go around the table since they're all native to that town. And they were telling, like, what they heard. They never seen anything. But they're like, yeah, you know, we hear that. If you talk about them, they know about it. And so these cousins weren't related to my aunts. They were from my mother's side of the family. And I didn't have anything to say. I wasn't in shock, per se. But I was, like, interested. So I was just listening because I didn't have anything to counter all their arguments. But I genuinely wanted to know more. So they're all going around the table in a circle. And I wasn't saying anything. But as they're telling their stories, I feel like this weird hollow sensation in my stomach. I didn't know what it was at the time. I couldn't describe it. It was so light and so faint. I thought, like, what's this feeling? And I was like, yeah, I'll probably go away. 20 to 30 seconds later, I felt that sensation get heavier in my stomach. And I was like, oh, this is the feeling you get when you want to vomit. So I was thinking, oh, you know, I can barely even feel it. So I don't want to interrupt these people's stories because I'm still listening to it. I'll wait till they finish telling the story so I can ask them if they can move out of the booth so I may exit, go use the restroom. But within the next 20 to 30 seconds, my body just got heavy. Everyone looks at me and they're like, gee, are you all right? And apparently I was super pale. My eyes were rolling to the back of my head. I felt my whole face the outer rim of my face get super hot, but my eyes were like super cold, and I couldn't lift up my arms and legs at all. So everyone notices that I'm like basically blacking out, and they rush to go get me some more food and something to drink. And luckily, I recovered from that without completely blacking out, but I just thought it was a completely strange incident because that was the first time that's ever happened to me in my life, and it happens to be about talking about so-called witchcraft and, you know, how people involved with it, the dark arts, can, you know, affect you even when you're talking about it. And so to me, that was a very trippy situation, I guess you could say.
Damn, that's pretty, I don't know, that's crazy, man. Like the way you said that, as soon as they told you about your relatives being, you know, practitioners of the witchcraft magic,
yeah,
that you started feeling like, you know, all kinds of ways.
Definitely. And there's more to it. That was not the first time. Well, it was the first time hearing about it, but wasn't the last time we discussed it. About a year or two later, my sister, who happens to have my aunt babysit for her, was approached by another cousin of mine, and he goes up to her and tells her, like, hey, you shouldn't have your aunt watch your kids, because rumor has it that they practice witchcraft. And so my sister ended up, she didn't want to disprove it or try to argue with my cousin about what he's heard, but she took him on his word, and it's better to be safe than sorry. And yeah, ever since then, she has not taken her kids back to go get babysat by her.
Let me just explain to the audience why that is. If you guys didn't know, apparently within the beliefs of the witches feed on babies, and they drink their blood in order for them to be young, you know, to keep their youth and their powers. So especially if the baby was at a young age where the baby wasn't baptized or whatever, then, you know, this potential individual would have fed on the baby. It's weird how they do it. Mm-hmm. But that's the story, like, that's the reason behind why witches go after babies, because they feed on their life energy in order to keep them young.
Wow.
Yeah, that's even news to me. I'm surprised by that.
Nah, bro, I've done a lot of research and like paranormal stuff, because like I said, I'm intrigued by it. And when I do my episodes on researches and stuff, I just don't talk out of talking. Like, I have actual facts that I found on the internet about, like, you know, like people that have gone through it, or like websites that do like paranormal studies and, you know, stuff like that. They're actual like facts, hardcore facts.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I never looked into it any further than that after almost passing out, because I was kind of feeling like, you know what, that's maybe all the proof I need. And I never wanted to go up to my family, to my aunts, and actually ask, are they practicing witchcraft? Because I didn't want them to be known. Like, I didn't want them to know that's how they're perceived in the community, you know? Ever since then, I just dropped it.
Let me ask you this. Was this here in the States, or was this in Mexico?
Oh, no, this was here in the States. Still in
Oh, that's fucking... Part of my French audience, that's interesting, because you really don't hear a lot about brujería out here, like witchcraft, out here in the States. It's mostly in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's more, I guess it's more of a cultural stuff out there, you know?
Yeah, and no, that definitely, like, my entire family is from Mexico. So,
dang.
You know, just because we live here doesn't mean they don't have their native roots, I guess you could
say. Yeah, dude, it's interesting, it's very interesting. Is there anything you want to ask him, Patty?
No, I just think that it's quite, you know, unbelievable that they were able to channel you while you were at Jack in the Box and while you were being told all these things. So it's kind of, but then Victor brings in the whole facts behind it. Like, you know, it's not totally unbelievable, because, you know, these people, they don't want to be outed. They don't want to be told. They don't want to be, you know, told by other people, hey, so-and-so told us that you guys are witches. So maybe it could have been like a diversion.
Yeah.
And having you feel all those things so, you know, your cousins can, you know, shut up and they won't say anything.
Yeah. Every time I tell this story, I always have that small fear in the back of my mind thinking, if it is completely true, then they probably know that I'm talking about them right now. And, ooh, like, are they going to affect me? And so, yeah, every time I tell it, I always have a little fear. Because I can't prove it myself, nor do I want to go and actually find that out, you know? I don't want to think less of my family, I guess you can put it like that. But at the same time, it's like, if it is a valid story, then it should be told, you know? Some people should know about it. So if anyone else is like me trying to find the answers towards a paranormal, then they'll find it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's there is. Let me share a quick story with you, Gio. I read this story, and it was this blog where people. Well, it was on Reddit, and it's a paranormal blog. And I guess this person from Guanajuato. It's weird, but it's in Spanish though. But I'm just pretty much tell you guys what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So this person Guanajuato back in the revolutionary times. He had an encounter with the witch, and like this guy, he became a witch hunter. It's kind of weird, but here he goes. So the guy's name was Francisco, and he was during the revolutionary times. He and his wife had twin babies, and they were running away from the army during that time, the civil war in Mexico, and so they were running away from the army. And then they ended up going to a forest. It was weird how they ended up going to a forest. They went to the forest, and in the middle of the forest, this was this little rundown, like little hut, you know, this little house. And the guy knocked. Francisco knocked on the door, and this little bitty old lady comes out and tells him, "Oh, why can I help you guys? Like, what's going on? You know?" And they tell her. Oh, so we need some kind of asylum for the night, you know, just like a place to stay in, because it's getting dark. We're in the middle of the forest. We have two babies, and we don't have nowhere else to go. So then the lady lets him in, and in the middle of the night, she tells him, "Okay, guys, well, you guys are gonna sleep in the living room. I'm gonna sleep in my room." They're sleeping. And they say that the guy said that in the middle of the night he heard like a weird thump, and a weird loud noise, and so he started hearing the baby cry, one of the baby girls cry, and so he wakes up, and you know, it's in the middle of the forest, of course there's no electricity, you know, no light, and so he was trying to look for a candle or something, so he finds a candle in the kitchen, lights it up, and he saw the lady was a witch, by the way. He saw her holding the baby above her mouth, and she was like biting down on the baby's ankle, sucking the blood.
Oh my goodness!
And like the guy just watched with horror as he started seeing the life of his baby being drained out. Like the baby went from being a normal vivid color to like a pallid blue purple looking color, and so he then like. Grab a knife. He grabbed his machete or his knife because he had a knife with him. I think that's what the guy said. He had a knife, chased after the woman, but she disappeared in the middle of the night, like on the forest. She just like disappeared. And so years later, the guy ended up going like all over Guanajuato, like hunting the witches. And the funny thing is, or the ironic thing, not really funny but ironic. Mm-hmm. Is that the baby girl that survived was the great-great-great-grandma of the guy that wrote the story, because that was a story passed down through generations, through his family. Wow. But yeah, it was interesting how the guy, like, he was, like, saying, "Oh, yo." And then the funny thing is, like, the guy said that his grandpa told him, like, if you want to know if someone is a witch, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what the guy said. The witches usually like to eat nopales. Like they like nopales with sal, you know, like nopales with salt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll eat them raw, just like that, dude.
Wow.
Okay, I was about to say, like, that means my mom's probably a witch.
No, no, no. No. Like they eat them raw, and, like, once they eat them raw, I guess they get stuck to, like, they can't move or whatever, because, like, he has some kind of, like, magical power. It is weird how the guy was describing it. But then his ancestor, like I said, the Francisco guy, he went all over the place hunting for the witch that killed his daughter. And then one day he was selling nopales out on the street, and this lady happened to walk by. And he told her, hey, are you interested in buying nopales, you know? Like, you know, you want to buy some? And the lady said, no, I don't want any, you know? Like, she was just like, I don't want any. And the guy's like, well, they have salt. Like, they're freshly made with, you know, they have salt and stuff. And so the lady said, oh, okay, you know what? Yeah, let me get one, whatever. So he served up a plate. And the guy asked her, do you want me to grill it for you? And the lady said, no, I'll eat it raw like this. I like them raw. So she was eating it. And on the chair where she sat down, this guy said that he had a... Because, like, I guess in order for you to, counter-attack a witch or whatever, you need to put, like, mustard seeds. And if you get scissors and you, like, tape them up or glue them or whatever in the form of a cross and put them underneath the chair, like, they are not going to be able to move. They get stuck to it. It's weird. And so the guy asked her, hey, so, you ate your food. Do you want to get going or what? And the lady's like, nah, I think I'll just chill, you know, I'm feeling a little bit tired. Like, she was trying to, like, play it off. But the guy already knew that she was a witch. And the guy tells her, Francisco told her, well, do you maybe want to get going, you know? You might have family missing you, or, like just trying to get it, like, to get the hell out. And the lady tells her, yeah, you know, I would love to leave, but you damn well know that you're not letting me leave. You know, I'm a witch or whatever. And so the guy said that he got up from the chair and went up, got in front of her and asked her, so how many kids have you eaten?
Oh, my goodness.
And the witch said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a regular person. You know, I don't do that. Like, she was just trying to play off or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the guy tells her, no, I remember you. And the lady's like, I don't remember none of that. Like, I remember you. And he's like, you remember the night at the forest, you know, when I stayed at your house and you ate one of my daughters? And the lady responded to the guy, no, I don't remember none of that. Like, you're confusing me or whatever. And then after that, the guy told her, well, how come you're not trying to move? Like, you know, like, move, like, leave then. And then bottom line was that he found that, like, the lady that was there, she was the witch that ate one of his daughter, and he killed her. Yeah, it was weird. And, like, I guess they had her head on, they had her head displayed at his house, like, you know, just, like, so the family could see. It was weird. It was, like, a weird story.
That's interesting. You know, not in, like, a fascinating way, but almost in, like, a... Like, you can't believe that these things actually happen, you know? And it's, like, you know, the father's parental, you know, his natural parental, there's a word for it, but his instincts, they kicked in, and he's like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna find whoever killed my daughter. And, you know, it's funny that he chose to take the selling nopales route on the side of the road in order to find the woman. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and all these, like, folk tales that are left for us to be, like, discovered, you know, like, you hear about, like, skinwalkers, and, you know, hearing this one is just astonishing, because, you know, for everyone to have their own personal experience, and a lot of these people take them, you know, to their grave, because they like, adamantly believe in all this stuff. They genuinely believe that it is true, and no one can change their mind about it. And everyone else that has, like, a normal life or stays away from all this stuff, it's like, it's easy for them to discredit it, but, like, yeah, he's just crazy, or, yeah, he probably saw something normal, but he's just mistaking it for something else. But, you know, we live in a big world, so a lot of the stuff that they might be experiencing can be true, you know?
Yeah, so definitely.
It's just crazy for all this to unravel as it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, there was a time where, like, I didn't believe in stuff like this at first, you know, like I've told people before, but over the years, I've seen, I've seen my fair share of like little weird occurrences here and there. I think, bro, that my house is haunted. Like, I'm not sure. This sounds weird, but there has been times where like stuff out of my pantry has fallen out on its own, and like there is like cans that are not supposed to fall out, like because I'm in the middle, mm-hmm. and they just like happen to fling out of the pantry.
Wow.
Yeah, and like it's
how you get a paranormal crew in there.
I don't know, bro. I mean, I already, like, I don't pay attention to it, whatever. I just even, like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, there you are again, dude. Because there was a time where, I don't know if you heard about duendes. Duendes are gnomes, or, like, elves, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I haven't heard about them exactly. Oh, I know what gnomes are.
They're the same thing, gnomes. Like, they're those mythical creatures that come out and do mischievous shit to you.
Oh, okay.
So, there was a time, and no, I haven't even told this story in any of the other of my podcasts or anything. Like, I'm sharing it with you because we're sharing stories, you know, like back and forth.
Yeah.
There was a time that I was coming back from work, or I was coming back from the street. Let me just leave it at that. I don't even know where. I don't remember where I was. I was coming back at like 2 a.m, and I opened the door. You know, I'm opening the door. And I heard the dishes at my house there. I'll even send you a photo of that, like the little dish rack that I have and how it set up the day when it happened. So I have my hydro flask sitting on the dish rack, and the dish rack has like those little hooks, you know? And so it's there, and obviously it's not going to fall down unless like someone messes with it, right?
Yeah.
And so I opened the door, and I heard like, and I saw like a little shadow running by the refrigerator. But I thought it was my younger brother because he's, you know, he's a little kid. And sometimes he gets out in the middle of the night to go get snacks or whatever. So I opened the door, like, just slammed the door open. And I'm like, ha, I got you, fucker. And as soon as I said that, like, I saw the shadow. It disappeared. Like, the whole living room was closed. I mean, it was dark. Not closed, dark. And I just seen the shadow, like, rush through. And as soon as I said that, someone flinged my hydro flask at me. I just heard like fling, like getting thrown to me on my feet. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, so I call my brother's name. I'm like, yo, that's not funny, bro. I'm gonna beat your ass. Like, once I fully get in there, I'm gonna beat your ass because you shouldn't be throwing shit at me like that. I get inside the house. I get to the kitchen area because I live in an apartment. So it's my door, my living room, and 3 steps to the right is my kitchen.
Yeah.
So I turned on the lights and everything. There was no one, bro. Like, no one in the kitchen. Nor was there nobody in the living room. But they flung the hydro flask on my feet on the other side to the living room. And so I was like, okay, you know, whatever. It probably fell down and it rolled. Like, I was trying to do like scientific explanations.
Yeah.
And then the more I thought about it, I was like, nah, there's no way that thing would have fell on its own and flew all the way to the living room. Like, there's just no way. You know, like, someone had to pick that up and fling it at me when I said that. But, then, yeah, every now and then, dude, it's weird because, like, every now and then, I have my water cases out here in front of me. And there is times where, like, you know, when you have, like, just the bottom half of the water cases of the water, and then the other, like, the rest of the plastic's, like, sticking up.
Yeah.
There has been times, bro, when no one's touching, it's just me at the house, and they fucking fall to the ground. Like, they just, like, fling to the ground like someone throws them. And I'll just be like, okay, I see you. You're out there. Okay, it's cool. And then there was another time where I had my dad's ice chest open, and that thing was open for hours. Like, there was nobody. Nobody was messing with it. It was just chilling in the kitchen on the table for like hours. It opened, and then all of a sudden, wham! It gets like the door gets like slammed shut.
Wow.
It's just been weird. Like, little stuff like that here and there. It's just been weird. I mean, I don't even pay attention to it. I just like whatever, you know. I say whatever. But there was a time where I was laying down in my living room, and my grandma was here with me. And so, and from my living room, you look forward to the left, and that's my brother's room, and he had the door open. and I saw a shadow, and it looked like an elder lady just walking into the room. And they grabbed the blankets and they kind of like shook them, you know, like when you're making the bed like that.
Yeah.
Like, so they shook it up, and she went underneath the blankets and disappeared. And I was like, what the? I was like, nah, I'm tripping. I was like, nah, I'm tripping. Like, there is just no way that I just seen that. So I get up running, thinking it was my grandma. I'm like, oh, it's probably my grandma. She's probably making my brother's bed. And I go in, and as soon as I'm running towards the, like, storming to the room, my grandma's coming out of the bathroom. She's like, what's going on? I was like,
wow.
I was like, you were not in the room right now? She's like, no, I was in the bathroom. Why would I be in the room? I was just coming out of the bathroom. And I told her, I was like, I dead as you seen like this apparition, like I described it to her. And she's like, oh yeah, I've been having the feeling like someone's watching me when I sleep in you guys' room. Like, it's weird.
That's interesting. So your grandma's also sensitive, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And the question for you is, if it is, like, if there is an entity over there in your house or your apartment, do you feel like it's a negative spirit or negative energy there? Or what do you believe its purpose is there?
That's a good question.
To be honest with you, bro, I don't even know if it's, like, something malicious. I think it's just, like, I think it might be, like, my guardian. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, telling me, hey, I'm here, you know, like, don't be fucking around or whatever. Pardon my French. Because... there was this time where, and I've never told this to anybody. It's, you know, just because I, you know, people are gonna think that I'm crazy or whatever. But I joined. So this was like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, yeah, give or take. I joined this Facebook page, and I was like looking for people, like stories, you know, people who had stories and want to share them with us, you know, like just like you. Mm-hmm. And so. This girl posted a post saying that she sees demons, like she's a medium, like she could see demons and angels and stuff like that, and they talk to them, and she's like helped some, like she could see dead people, and she's helped a couple of them pass through the next life. But she was asking if there was anybody else there that was able to see demons and stuff, and how they swish them away, like how they make them go away. Cause like she was saying that there was always this guy on a black hood. And he was always, like, harassing her, you know? So then I messaged her. I was like, hey, like, this is interesting. Like, your story is interesting, you know? Like, there is potential. Would you like to come onto my show and, you know, talk to me about it? You know, like, tell the audience what's going on. And she was like, I can't do that. I'm sorry, but I could tell you something. I was like, okay. She's like, and your photo? And you seen my photo, Patty? My Facebook photo?
Yes, I have.
So, she told me on your Facebook photo, on the left side, by the wall, there is a presence. You know, I see a presence there. So I was tripping. I was like, what do you mean a presence? Like, is it a bad presence? I was like, is it like a bad presence? Is it a demon? Is it a dead person? Is it an angel? Is it a ghost? Like, what kind of energy, you know, what kind of entity it is? And she told me, she's like, oh, don't worry, it's nothing bad. I'm like, well, I'm intrigued. Like, what is it? And she's like, it's your protector. She's like, you have a protector. And so I messaged her. I was like, what do you mean I have a protector? She's like, yeah, you have a protector who's always around you, you know, and they're taking care of you, so nothing bad would happen. I was like, okay. And so she's like, and I was like, I don't believe you. I was like, I started like telling her, I was like, I don't believe you. I think you're like full of BS or whatever. And she was like, okay, let me tell you this. She's like, do you remember the time that you were going to go out to your friend's house to meet up with them, but you end up not going to their house? You ended up going somewhere else and your friends ended up getting shot? I was like, yeah, I remember the time. And like, keep in mind, like I said, I've never met this woman in my life. Like she lives in Argentina. That's where her profile says she was from, Argentina. And I was like, yeah, I remember the time. She's like, why do you think that you didn't go that day? I was like, I didn't go that day because my friend hit me up and that she wanted to go to Sacramento. And she's like, no, that happened because your protector, like, put the idea in your friend's head to call you in order for you to not go to that place. And so after she told me that, bro, I started believing. I was like,
the fact that she even knew about that is enough for you to believe, you know?
Yeah, I was like, my circle of friends, like, not even Patricia knew that my friends got shot up and stuff, like, just very, like, intimate friends.
Wow.
And, you know, for her to, like, call it out on the spot like that, something that only you know, that you experience, you know, because some people believe that mediums kind of, like, use this tactic where they slowly get information out of you, like, use generic quotes or generic statements. Like, oh, does anyone, like, feel like they lost, like, a female in their life? And everyone, you know.
Everybody has, at least.
You know, so a lot of people believe, well, a lot of the mainstream mediums, I'm talking about the one on TV.
Yeah.
They believe they're fake or whatnot, but for that medium to call out that specific event, to, you know, call out that someone got shot and then knew that you were missing from that event specifically, that's pretty crazy to believe.
Yeah. And so, like I said, you know, here you guys have it. You know, it's like I'm doing a first time, I guess, story told for that, like, because nobody else knew except for my friend that I was with at the time when I told her, and my mom and my dad, and that's it. And yeah, it was just like I said, it was just weird, like that got me thinking. Maybe that's why, like, when I've seen some of the paranormal stuff that I've seen, they never, like, try to attack me, because I've seen, like stories where people see, like, ghosts or whatever, or demons, and they try to attack them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, okay, that's interesting. So, yeah, like I said, dude, I don't think that's, like, any, like, malicious energy. I just think, like, it's maybe my protector trying to tell me, you know, like, I'm here with you, like, don't forget about me, you know, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, and you have something going on for you that I think a lot of people don't have, which is to know that they have someone watching over them and protecting them, you know? Not everyone has that benefit or is, like, you know, no one just has that opportunity, sadly. But you're blessed with something that a lot of people don't have, so that's pretty cool to know. And for someone to confirm with you, you know, someone that you have no connection to, no ties with, to tell you that you're being watched over, it's pretty incredible.
Exactly. That's how, that's my thinking going into it. Especially too, since, like, for her to pinpoint such a, like, a precise and specific moment in your life, that she lives, like, across the world. It's like, which makes it even more believable too, because, you know, you agreed with her. She knew something about you that, you know, a total stranger on Facebook knew this intimate detail about you. And like Gio said, you know, you're blessed to even get to know such information like that, and you know that you're being protected. That's amazing.
My question, Victor, is if say at your home the paranormal activity starts to, like, kick up again, would you be interested in the idea of helping it move on? Or would you not? Would you just continue to, like, you know, stay away from it, basically, and let it be, let it do what it does?
Okay, so if I had the ability, if I had the ability to help people pass on to the next life, like that, I would do it, you know.
Oh.
You know, because why not? I mean, they're souls that are, I want to say limbo, but not really in limbo, but they are in limbo just because they're not here, but they're not there.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they just don't know where to go.
Yeah.
They're just hanging around. They don't know what's better for them, yeah?
Well, so Victor, what you're saying is that certain people do have that ability.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many different kinds of abilities out there that people do have.
No, Well, one of my aunts, and you know who I'm talking about, Patricia? I don't want to say her name.
Yeah.
Because she told me if I talk about her, like, not to say her name. But right. One of my aunts, she's able to see, like dead people, you know. She's able... she's able to see dead people. She's a, she's, I guess you could say, not really a medium, but like somebody, I guess you could call it a medium. I don't even know what would be the right term, way. Like, she's able to, like, see dead people. She's able to see kind of like what could happen a little bit into the future, and it just, like, happens. Premonitions. Mm-hmm. It's just premonitions.
Wow. That's certainly interesting, and I could see where you would want to not disclose her name and things like that, for sure. And, you know, I think there are people that are able to see the dead that want to remain anonymous, you know, in fear of, you know, people do finding out, or people finding out, because I've heard also, you know, when talking about the paranormal and things like that, that there are people out there that do seek those special people that do have these kinds of abilities and their targets. So they wish to remain anonymous in fear that something might happen to them. That's just what I've heard. You know, when I've spoken to people like from Mexico and things like that, that they wish to remain anonymous because they're afraid that they're going to be targets for people that do practice witchcraft and things like that. And they're afraid, you know. So I would see why. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. You know, people with abilities being targeted. But I've heard that from people.
But on the same note, basically, speaking of like mediums, yeah, my sister happened to have a crazy. Well, actually, no, it was my brother-in-law. Happened to have a crazy experience with the medium, and her making comments about his daughter, my niece, and how she might be linked to some paranormal stuff going on. But that might be an episode for another time.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would definitely be a good one. But yeah, like children, dude. Children are also very skeptical to, or very sensitive, I should say, to like the paranormal stuff.
I agree.
You know, like from what I could recall, I saw my first paranormal appearance when I was like, or apparition when I was like maybe 6 or 7 years old, give or take. And like, for those of you who have been listening to my podcast since the very beginning, it's the episode of The Lady in the White Dress. You know, I think I told you about it, you?
Yeah, I believe you mentioned it before.
Yeah, but yeah, it was, I don't know, that was like the very first thing that I can remember that from seeing, you know, like an apparition and stuff. I've seen shadow people too, you know, and that was when I used to work at a place where they used to rent like moving trucks. I don't want to say the name of the company just because, you know, they might say, oh no.
No, but like, I do agree with you about children being exceptionally prone to seeing these things, and I think it's because they're so young, and they don't really have a big bag of knowledge or anything like that, and you know, they don't have that ability yet to judge what's real and what's not real. But they do see and hear things because, you know, they do have those senses. And I do think that it's like, you know, those imaginary friends that kids do have, it's just them seeing people that are there, you know. And so they're not able to brush off away their experiences or anything like that because of the same reason, you know, they're so young and they really don't have a concept of like what they are looking at, so they're not going to be like, yeah, you go away, big ghost or whatever, you know. So it's like, it's certainly believable.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, like their innocence definitely gets to them.
Yes.
And for anyone that's older, they can recognize someone that isn't going to be kind or friendly to you, or even if we see something that's threatening, as you mature, you run away from it. You know, you don't look towards being it's a friend or anything like that. But for kids that don't know any better, if they see a shadow figure that happens to look like a real person, they'll treat them just like another person. And so that'll be my theory as to why, you know, more paranormal stuff happens to children, or why they get linked to this stuff a bit more often than more than adults, I guess you could say.
Okay, well, let me say this, like, people are gonna think that I'm crazy on this one. Okay, but there is this theory that I've read on a book and like people that I know that they do not like they have like my aunt, you know, the mm-hmm. one that I told you that she's like a medium, like that she has the ability.
Yeah.
So there is people that they're called people that have the light with them, you know, like you're like you have a lot of light.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know how to like it, like the concept, like you know how, okay, so anybody who is like a dead person, you know, they're or like a spirit, no matter what kind of spirit it is, good or bad, they when they're dead, you know, they're looking for the light, you know, like they're, you know how they say, oh, the light at the end of the tunnel. And so there are certain people that have been blessed by God or whatever person, higher being power that you believe in, that gives them the ability to have, like, you know, powers to be mediums, powers to, you know, be protectors or whatever. And those people, they're people that have light, inner light with them, you know? And mm-hmm. so that's one of the reasons why a lot of the dead people, like, they seek them out. You know, they get attached to them. Because they're searching for the potential light that could give them their inner peace. I don't know if it makes sense to you guys.
It does make sense. It does.
Yeah, definitely.
Because again, you know, these kids or anybody really, but mostly, you know, since we're talking about the subject of children, they are the light basically. Because, you know, they are these pure little beings, and they haven't been, you know, subjected to really anything. You know, they don't know what ghosts are. They don't know what these apparitions are. They don't know what the shadows are, because nobody's really told them, because they're so little, right?
Yeah.
And so that's something, that's like a theory that also plays into it, you know, if that children can see the paranormal and things like that. And especially what you're talking about too, Victor, I believe that. And then, because I've spoken with a person, that, you know, they want to remain anonymous, of course, out of respect, and they have claimed to have the ability to see people's auras, this light that you're talking about.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. The auras. They look for your aura. Like, if you're a person that have a that has a clean aura, which is also known as a light, you know, then that's why a lot of the spirits they get attached to you. Because they're seeking a piece of that light to give them the peace. But then when it comes to like demons and, you know, like all the bad things,
the malicious spirits,
they're trying to do that. They're trying to get the light because like that's a source for them to like feed on. You know, like besides the fact that demon like a malicious apparitions, they feed off of fear. You know, like the more scary you're of them, the more that they grow and feed, like they feed off your fear and they kind of grow, you know, like they get stronger.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why, if you guys, I don't know, like if you guys have ever heard me from my beginning of my podcasts and stuff, I've always told people like, hey, if you ever see a ghost, a demon, or whatever, don't try to, like don't tease it, you know, just don't be like, oh, you know, I'm believing you, whatever. No, don't do none of that. You know, seek help, you know, by whatever means necessary, seek help, you know, pray to God. If you believe in God, pray to your whatever belief you are, you know, whatever belief you have, your higher authority, you know, whoever you believe in, pray to them, you know, ask them to guide, to send you the light, you know, the light that will protect you, you know. And like I said, don't really pay attention to them, because that's what they want. They want you to, you know, give them the negative energy for them to grow bigger, you know, to grow stronger and take over you.
Wow, that's something that is very interesting. I didn't know that. So that's good to know, you know, that we have these facts and these rules, really, on what to do and what not to do. So that's interesting.
Yeah, no one should fully be afraid, because you don't know what you're going up with or up against them, you know?
Right.
You know, if you're finding someone that might need help, that's seeking guidance, and you being afraid of it might not help the situation at all. You know, sometimes it's comforting to know, like, if it is a loved one, per se, that, you know, has just passed, and they're the ones hanging around, then it might be comforting to know that they're still with you in some aspect. You know, they haven't fully left you. is, you know, we take comfort in that rather than just being afraid and say, oh, you know, my house is haunted, and being afraid and neglecting it. Rather, you can help them ease moving on with being kind and polite and, you know, acknowledging their presence.
Yeah, I agree, because, you know, like Gio said, like you mentioned, you don't know what you're going up against. You don't know what you're going up against. You don't know what to do, what it could potentially do. If you do decide to, you know, to acknowledge it and give it power, as Victor says. So it's certainly interesting, and it's very, I guess it's good to know. It's good to know that, that, you know, these things that Victor's saying, these helpful tips, for sure.
Yeah, so, damn, I didn't think that we were going to get into, you know, like, this very interesting topics, you know, like, I like having this kind of interviews and discussion topics with my guests, you know, and you guys are being really, you know, you guys are really been awesome. For those of you who haven't noticed, Patty joined us, like, halfway through the, I believe, second segment.
You know? Yes, hello.
So, there's Patty, sorry about that.
No, it's good. No, yeah, it's always good to have, like, an open, it's a open dialogue about these kinds of things.
You know, over the place, from Ouija boards to witches to ghosts, you know, or who it might be. It was a very productive discussion.
Yeah, and I think this platform is definitely the right platform for us to do this on, or to us have a discussion and things like that. Because, you know, to the audience that's tuning into these podcasts, they already, like, you know, they're interested in the paranormal. So I think that's pretty cool.
What else do you guys want to add on to it?
So it's funny that you were talking about things falling away, like falling off of your pantry, or falling out of your pantry, you know, with by unexplainable forces or things like that. Because I do have a story. It's not mine, unfortunately. It's not my personal one, but it's a story that's been told to me from someone else. And so this happened at their house, a family member. It's one of my family members. And they were at their house, and I guess they have kids, right? And so the toys are just laying around everywhere. But there was a particular toy, and it was a Batmobile, right? So this Batmobile is right by this treadmill, and so it's between the treadmill and the wall, so it's inside, like, this little like crevice or something like that. It's way back there, and there was no kids in the house. It was just my family member and a few other adults. And mind you, well, I'm not gonna tell you guys yet, but so basically, this Batmobile just moved on its own. And it moved on its own. It moved out of the crevice. Like, it got out of between the wall and the treadmill. So it was out. And my family member, who saw it out the corner of their eye, was like, what the hell? That Batmobile just moved out of its own. And so they go and inspect it. And lo and behold, the car had no batteries. It had no batteries, but it lit up and it moved itself. Wow. There's no kids. There's no kids to play with the Batmobile. Just adults, you know. And so when they went to go check it out, and, you know, they saw that the damn thing had no batteries, they're like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, no, forget
it. And they threw...
appreciating the ghost. Bring that please down. That's it.
Yeah, for real. And then they threw that Batmobile in the trash.
Okay, but see, the thing is, though, there is times where if there was a spirit... Like, say that a boy died, you know, a kid.
Yeah.
And so... that kid gets attached to a toy because that toy reminds him of, you know, a piece of them when they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why a lot of the times when, like you said, toys move or whatever, it's because that energy attached itself to the toy. They attach themselves to the toy, and then they are like, you know, like they're playing with it, like if they were like kids alive. It's weird.
No, I get what you're saying, and I totally believe that, because, you know, when children die, or when anybody dies really, they're just looking for something to connect them to their life and to something that makes them feel like home, like they're at home. And so if
I think a lot of us do recognize that, like, one of the top reports is that, you know, that ghosts can manipulate energy. So I don't think it's hard to believe that, you know, if they are taking energy and you know, they can put it into a toy and manipulate it so they can't turn the lights, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that's what my family was talking about.
You hear about, you know, buildings with no electricity where, like, the lights flashing, like, people see, like, the house lit up, even though they're not connected to power, and there's plenty of reports of like those all around the United States that you can find. So, you know, it's not out of the, I don't think it's out of the question to hear about a toy getting moved, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree with that. Victor, what's your take? I know you already said that, you know, it could have been a children's spirit and things like that, but it's crazy.
No, pues, yeah, like I said, you know, it, to me, I think it might have just been, you know, like a potential, like a spirit, you know, that maybe like a kid or somebody, you know, that attached itself to the toy and they were playing with it, you know.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Patricia?
Mm.
Okay, you remember at work, right? I'm also not gonna say where we work, you know, for privacy reasons, you know, because you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know on the toy section, how we had those little dinosaurs that whenever you move, they would growl. Whenever, like, they're sensor-activated dinosaurs, and whenever you move, they would growl, right?
Oh, yes, I do remember those.
Okay, check this out. Tell me why a couple of months ago, this has been, like, months, there was this little green raptor, and I'm almost 100% sure that shit was possessed.
Oh, my gosh.
Hear me out, which is why I think it was possessed. Okay, that raptor was there for like maybe 4 or 5 months. Like, nobody has bought the raptor, and nobody bought it because the box was all jacked up. So I know it was the same one. And it was the only thing on the clearance rack when we had the clearance racks in there. And every time I would pass by, that thing would go off on its own. And here, and people are gonna hear, you know, it's a sensor motion, you know, you're crazy, whatever. No, here's the thing. The switch was to off. Because I picked it up one day. I was like, I'm tired of this damn thing always growling at me whenever I walk by. Uh-huh. And there would be times where nobody would walk by and that thing would growl. You know, like after we already had closed the store.
Yeah.
So one day I said, you know what? I'm going to pick it up. I'm gonna turn it off. As a matter of fact, I was like, I'm tired of it. So I pick it up. I look at the switch, thinking that it was like on demo. No, that thing, the switch was off, and that shit would go on by. That shit would go off on its own.
With the switch off.
Yeah. With the switch off, yes.
Wow.
And even if it was on, you would think after like months, like you said, being there, that the battery would have run out. You know.
Yeah. It was, I don't know what, it was weird. And when I told one of the managers, they laughed at me. They're like, whatever, you know, you're tripping, whatever. I was like, okay. And then it happened to them.
Wow.
And I'm not going to say who he was, but you could know by the size of the hive of the man. So he went up to me the next time. He was like, hey, you know how you were telling me about the one raptor there that we had? I was like, yes. It's like, I walked by it, dude. That shit growled at me. I picked it up and looked at the switch, and the switch was off.
So you
went out there to confirm your story.
Pretty much, man. It was weird.
That's what I was going to say. You have another confirmation, not just from yourself, but from a fellow coworker, you know? Yeah. That is crazy. That makes me see the toy section in a whole new level. Especially, you know. But then I get it, because toys are, you know, they're, well, the electronic ones, in the fact that they're able to be manipulated just because, you know, they are, they do have those electronical components. And, you know, I've heard that, you know, spirits can, in fact, you know, manipulate, you know, the electronic components and things like that. So I don't find it, you know, hard to believe. For sure.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was weird. Like I said, it was very interesting. And, like, he didn't want to believe me until it happened to him. And he's like, oh, well, I guess it is true.
Wow. It's funny because, you know, people don't believe it until they experience it themselves.
Yes.
They have that firsthand experience themselves instead of being told by, like, you or by another person. Unless they experience it, it doesn't exist.
Let me ask you this, guys. I mean, I know that I know you guys weren't, like, really raised in Mexico out there, but, like, you guys didn't get that culture of the motherland, you know, like, the way, you know? You guys weren't, like, fully exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, and we're going to go back to talking about witchcraft and brujería. Do you guys believe in brujería? Like, if somebody does some brujería or witchcraft to, like, say food, you know, like a piece of food, like let's simply a plate of food, and they offer it to you, you know, and you eat it, and then you start getting sick, you know, a couple days go by and you start getting sick, do you believe that it was because of, like, brujería, witchcraft, or do you believe it was more like a scientific reasoning where, you know, the food might have hit me wrong, you know, like food poisoning?
Well, for me, even if we're talking about the motherland,
motherland.
You know what I mean? I'm going to say it's the most sanitary place.
Right.
So it honestly could be both. But if you're there for a good while and you know the food there, you know the location, you know where you're eating.
Okay, let me put it this way. Let me put it like this. Like, say a close family member, or not really, I'm a family member, but a close friend of the family, you know, that you know that they had jealousy towards you.
Yeah.
And then one day out of the nowhere, they say, hey, Gio, I brought you a plate, you know, here's this plate of food, whatever, you know, try it out, let me know if you like it or whatever. And then you think to yourself, why the hell is Lola bringing me food when Lola doesn't like me, you know, yeah. Like. But you're like, whatever, you know, it's food, whatever, I'll eat it. Then you eat it, and a couple of days go by, and you start feeling you start feeling sick, like you got food poisoning and stuff, you know. Would you start?
In that scenario, definitely I would believe something's up, you know, something's going on behind the door. But, yeah, otherwise I would say anywhere else, going to any other restaurant, you know, I can't confirm that it's brujería or anything like that, because, you know, there's different foods, different styles. Your stomach just not may be accustomed to it. So you might be sticking with it 100%, I guess you could say. So, but yeah, if it's a family member and you could trust them, but then it ends up making you sick, and you feel like they have a reason to, like, you know, do something to your food, then yeah, I would say that could be the good stuff.
That's a good answer. For sure. For me, I guess I would be along the same lines, basically. So, like, say if you go to a restaurant, but we're being more specific, you know, it's a family member, I think it would be possible that they did something to your food. And if you say that they are jealous, they're envious, they're hating on you or whatever, I wouldn't put it past them to do something to harm you. Honestly, I mean, as much as you want to say, oh yeah, they're family, but then, you know, when you put it in that terms, Victor, mm-hmm. I mean, I think yeah, something could happen potentially.
Okay, because let me tell you why I was going at that. Okay, because me growing up in the motherland, you know, I was started, and it is, like I said, it is more of a cultural belief, but, you know, it is true, you know. I've heard a lot of stories, I've read a lot of stories where people get witchcrafted or bewitched or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, when I was growing up in the motherland, my grandma and my mom and, you know, my close family members, they would always tell me, whenever you go to people's houses or whatever, don't eat what they give you. Because you never know what they might put in there, you know. They never said it, like, specifically with brujería, but they, like, you know, it could be like they put drugs in there, you know. It could be that they put fucking, you know, like poison or whatever, you know. Like, you never know what people, like, say, you know faces, but you don't know their intentions, you know.
Right.
And so, like, that's just me. Like, I am very, like, because of that cultural thing, whenever I go to my friend's house or whatever and they offer me, like, hey, you know, like, we just made food or whatever, you know, do you want a plate? I always tell them, no, I just say, you know, because of, like, that's just been accustomed to me. Like, you don't accept anything from nobody from your house. Like, you know, I don't know, it's weird. Like, and I even do that with my close family members too. You know,
interesting.
Like whenever I go over to the house, even if they're like my very immediate cousins, you know, and they'll be like, oh, do you want some food? We make food. I'll be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm not hungry. You know, that's just because I was accustomed to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just weird. Like,
yeah, and it's what you say too. It's also how you're brought up, since you were brought up in Mexico. And, you know, like you said, the culture over there around, you know, witchcraft and things like that is extremely prevalent. And it's embedded into the culture. Like, it's deeply rooted. Like, there's no way that you could reverse such thinking, such mindset. You know, it's deeply rooted into the Mexican culture. And I'm pretty sure that if you speak to anybody, you know, that's Latino, Latina, they're going to tell you at least one story or one family member or something like that, that, you know, that they do believe in that. There's not one person that you're going to come across that's going to tell you, oh, no, you know, I don't believe in that. Especially coming from, like, the Latino perspective.
I really do think that the growing up Mexican or in Mexico, no, I'm not going to say Mexican, you know, just in general, but growing up in, like, Mexico or any part of the Latin America,
yeah,
you at least had one aunt or uncle that was a brujo or a bruja or knew of somebody.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's what I was getting at.
Because, like you said, yeah, it comes with the culture. It's, you know, it's been there for like millennia of years. It's always gonna be there. You know,
it ain't going nowhere.
No. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like I just find it interesting. Like I want to hear you guys' opinions on stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting too, because I, you know, I have heard about that, what you're speaking of, you know, don't eat people's food, they're strangers, you know, you don't know what's gonna happen, so. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And in my retrospective, like, all my family is a little bit closer, so since I've been going over, I completely trust, like, my aunts and uncles to, if they do feed me, to feed me well. That sounds kind of, like, cocky in a way.
Right.
I'm trying to sound like it. But, you know, like, I expect their food to be, like, sanitary and good for me, I guess you could say. But for my relatives in Mexico, I wouldn't trust their recipes 100%. I carry with me even now, whenever I do have to make a trip down there. Because I don't know them, I don't know their interests, as well as I don't know what they would expect from me. You know, like, if I don't like it, I don't want to tell them, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I don't like it. But I don't know what they use as ingredients. I don't know what they consider to be healthy and not. You know, I wouldn't trust them putting plants or anything like that to make some tea for me when I would just trust store brand kind of stuff.
Right, not like that homemade stuff.
Yeah, it's totally different. I mean, you guys are coming from you know, different, I guess we could say like a different culture, yeah, because I mean, you guys are, even though you guys are Latinos, you guys weren't really like fully exposed to the, you know, the motherland, like the motherland, you know, what's it called, like the motherland culture, yeah, like you guys yeah. weren't really fully exposed to it like I was, you know, growing up.
I agree with that, you know, but I do have, you know, family members who did emigrate over here, and you know, I do have their stories, and so I do kind of have, feel like I have kind of an exposure to it, not as much as like, say, you know, like yourself, who has lived in Mexico and who has lived, you know, majority of their life, and they do remember living over there. Like, you do remember living over there and things like that, your experiences. Of course, we're going to have differences. Whereas mine is just, you know, secondhand news. Whereas you is firsthand experience. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of legends over there that it just wouldn't make sense here, you know?
Yes.
La Llorona, walking out late at night. The culture just in general in Mexico is completely different from over here in the United States.
Totally.
You have like everyone in the community still walking out late at night, being super polite to each other and whatnot. You know, even people that don't know each other just waving hi to each other just to be friendly over there. And over here in the United States, nope, I ain't gonna walk down the same street as someone else at 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm gonna cross that street, I'm gonna walk somewhere else. You know, it's completely different over here. And so that also means, you know, the difference in rituals and cultures is completely different.
Right.
They work as a unit down there. You know, they really love each other. They love their culture. That's who they are. That's what brought them to where they are. And over here in the United States, it's all about isolating yourself from the rest of the world because you don't want to get engaged with any of that. The less communication you have to do with people, the better.
And, you know, again, it just comes down to the culture shock. You know, because, you know, in America, it's very independent. It's like, oh, I don't rely on nobody or anything like that. Whereas, you know, in the Mexican culture or the Latino community or anything like that, we're very united, like you were saying. Very united. We rely on our family members, on that closeness. We're very family oriented, you know, so I definitely do agree with that.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's like a differences of two worlds, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this seems like it's gonna be a hell of an episode. But
hell yeah.
Sadly, unfortunately, I gotta get going, you guys. So I don't know if you would wanna wrap this up, Victor.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna tell you guys, I think we should wrap it up, you know, and maybe another time we could have another discussion like this. But yeah. So thank you for coming in and joining us, Gio, today, and thank you for sharing your point of views and, you know, stories, you know, with the public and stuff, you know. And like I told you the other day, here at Crónicas Paranormales, we don't judge people on their stories, you know. We're not gonna be saying, oh no, that wasn't true. Nah, we, you know, you come share your stories, you know, we're here to listen to you, you know.
Yeah, and no, definitely, everyone's experience is definitely, like, it's validated to themselves, and that's, I think, the only thing that should matter. All we can do now is just share it with everyone else and, you know, try to grow as a community in that regard.
Yeah, well, once again, thank you, and make sure you guys listen to us on the next episode. Do you want to add anything else, Patty, or you're good?
No, I just want to say, you know, thank you for Gio joining in. And I know, you know, these kinds of discussions are really interesting and they can go on forever. Yes. Because, you know, we all have experiences, we all have stories. But, yeah, this was definitely an interesting episode for sure.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Definitely.
And we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you.